Hi, I'm Renelle Golden, and you're listening to the Movie Making Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Audible.
The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, whether you're stuck in early morning rush hour, reluctantly getting in those reps at the gym, or walking the dog. Just turn on one of your favorite Audible titles and be transported away from the daily grind. Try out Audible for free with the Movie Making Podcast affiliate link, www.audibletrial.com/moviemakingpod. That's audibletrial.com/moviemakingpod.
Today we are here with Dominic Lopez. He is a director and a cinematographer. Welcome, Dominic. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very good. Thanks for having me on.
I'm thrilled to have you here, and I can't wait to talk about like your new project, Little Jar. I just watched the trailer. Oh my God, that thing is so funny, and just a sheer delight in dealing with. I don't know. I related to the main character. I don't know if I should admit that, but I just loved it. It was awesome. So we will get to that. But let's start out talking a little bit about your filmmaking journey. And how did you get into making films? When did you know, and how did it all start?
Yeah, so I think like everybody else, you know, you have a family member who has a camera. You make little shorts at home. I remember a while ago, I was looking at old family photos and I noticed there'd be big group shots and I wouldn't be in them. And
I asked my dad, like,
yeah, exactly. I asked my dad, I was like, wait, where am I? He's like, well, you're the one who could take the picture the best. So I'd be the guy taking the photos.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's cute.
It's kind of how I knew I had like an inclination towards it. My dad was a hobbyist photographer, but you know, with a really good composition, like a great eye, but never really kind of like went into that. My mom, I guess, when she was in like in grade school, was really into acting, but more just kind of public speaking. She liked that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and I didn't know any of this stuff.
Natural aptitude, kind of.
Yeah.
From them, did you?
Yeah, exactly.
Do it in high school, or did you like know? Oh, hey, I'm gonna go, you know, to college for this. Like, how did you end up actually starting to make film? The journey today is so different.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, when I was in high school, I was mostly in like, I did mostly sports, right? Because my dad was really like a big fan. So I kind of did that. But I always played music like in the band. And then through the music, I had a theater director ask me, like, would you come audition for some of the plays? I auditioned, I got cast in high school, and that's kind of where I got like the whole like acting storytelling side of it, right? I'd always been making little short films, but like really nothing like major, right?
Right.
I just didn't know it was like a thing you could do. I always felt like it was like a fun hobby, right?
Yeah. A passion.
Exactly, right? Yeah. Just something like, you know, it made me feel good, but I didn't realize that it was something that you could capitalize on.
Right.
Both my parents work in like the medical field. So when I went to college, I was actually going to become like a general practitioner, like a doctor, and maybe specialize in something else. Yeah. So I was actually studying biology, hoping that like I would then, you know, in my master's and doctorate branch off to something else. But I just always had a camera. Like I remember spending some of my college money on like this really nice like Sony HD camera at the time, which was like,
you didn't tell your parents, right?
No, I didn't. And they were pretty pissed when they found out about it. But I started doing theater as a minor in college because I didn't have the money to go to film school. I had a state scholarship for the state university I went to. They didn't have a film program.
Right.
So I kind of thought like an SL in between, just so I can kind of keep creating and writing and like, you know, making stories was to do theater. I did it as my minor, and then I think it was like my junior year, I just flipped everything. I realized like, no, I want to stick. The storytelling is what I cared for. I was spending more time in the theater and the shop and building stuff and like trying to force them to put video into everything. So I swapped my minors. I dropped the biology altogether, which also my parents weren't terribly excited about, but they always supported me. You know, they always like, look, if this is what you want to do, you can do it. We don't know you're going to do with it, but you know, go for it.
There's
that's kind of when I realized that you could do something with it.
For being happy in life.
Exactly.
And if it's something you love and you're willing to put everything into it, you can be very successful. It might not be as, you know, the same rate or pace as doing other avenues, but you can be. And judging from your work, you seem like you're right where you belong.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I feel that way too. So I feel like it was a good choice. I don't know if I'd be a good doctor at this point. I have really shaky hands. I don't know.
You can do it in the movies. You can.
Yeah, exactly. I'll play one on TV.
So. Yeah. What was your first film? When did you make your first film where you were behind the lens and directing?
Yeah, I think one of the earliest films I made was on those old like VCR over the shoulder, like camcorders that people had.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I mean, it was essentially what like Blair Witch became, right? But this was back in like the really, really early 90s before it even came out.
Oh.
And it was like, you know, kids ghost hunting. And then all of a sudden they hear a ghost, the camera falls down.
In the forest near the house. Let's go make something there.
And, yeah, exactly. Oh, you know, we attach a flashlight to the camera, it falls over and somebody gets dragged in the background kind of stuff. So yeah, we made those quite a bit.
Did you have all your friends and family, like, did you force them to watch it and sit around and?
I mean, essentially I made them for myself. So I had one friend act and those ones with me. And then my dad just happened to see it over our shoulder because we'd come back in, we'd plug it in. Play it, say, okay, let's do this again, rewind to where the edit needed to be, and then go out and shoot it again. And like, that was editing, right? You just played in real time, stop it.
Very different. Yeah.
And my dad got a kick out of it, but you know, it wasn't anything. I didn't put on like big performances or big screenings for people. It was really just like,
I would torture everybody. I'd be like, come sit in here now.
I wish I had done that, but it would make doing this stuff a little bit easier.
Now you can do it in a bigger way, right? In an actual theater or something.
Exactly.
So. That's very cool. So you went on, you've been, you know, directing and doing cinematography. Do you have a preference between cinematography and directing, or do you love kind of doing them both simultaneously?
Yeah, I love doing them both. It's hard simultaneously when you get on bigger projects because there's just too much to manage as a director, too much as a DP that it's really difficult to like manage two different departments, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I think my natural inclination is the storytell. So I think directing is where I ultimately want to like end up. If I had to give up one, I would give up cinematography as much as I love it.
My next question was going to be, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like I love directing so much. I love crafting a story and building a world. Even in my cinematography, sometimes I find that like I'm much more willing to like allow the space for the actress to perform and be less nitpicky on lighting. And sometimes that works really well. And other times it may be to a detriment. So I think,
you have that director blood in you because you're very concerned about
the story, right? They're like all of it as a big picture as a whole. And some directors really appreciate that. And other ones get bizarre about that. So it's a fine line you got to work. Yeah.
It is. That's so true. So tell me about Little Jar. How did that come to be?
Perfect. Yeah. So I'll give you the condensed version of it because it's kind of a long story, but essentially, Kelsey Gunn, who stars in it, she's my writing partner. She's also now my fiance. We got engaged and
Let's jump all in. Let's do it all. I love that.
Yeah, it was all perfect. But we've been making these little micro short films that our production company, Grey Rabbit Films. We would just kind of make these weird little mood pieces, put them on Instagram under our Grey Rabbit, Instagram page.
Kind of building specials and your work behind your company.
Yeah, exactly. Because I shoot a lot of commercial stuff, right? So, you know, and I do like independent narratives. So like it's fun to like keep those skills sharp, right?
Right.
The pandemic hit. We were kind of locked in. We made two other short films, those little micro shorts. They're never more like a minute, right? And then we just kind of had this weird idea, like, why don't we just start writing something bigger, like a feature? We can't go anywhere. We're locked in our one bedroom apartment. Yeah. Let's write something that maybe we can film here. And so I would, you know, take the morning shift. I'd write there. Then she'd pick up like afternoon shift. She'd write also because she's also a writer as well.
Yes. Yeah.
After about 6 months.
Collaborate.
Yeah. It worked really well. I mean, it was difficult at first, right? We have two different types of voices. So it's kind of like marrying the two, which, you know, compromise comes into it. But, after about 6 months, about writing 8 to 10 hours a day, because we had the time to do so, we had a 90 page script that we were in love with. Had some people read it, got some really positive feedback and just thought like, what the hell? Like, what if we can raise the smallest amount of money that we know we'll need? And then we'll just carry the brunt of the work and the effort and let's go up and make this. So we raised, I mean, when I say we're micro, I mean, we're like the microest of micro budgets for this movie. The crew were 5 people, you know, five of us made the whole feature and, we just plucked away and,
it was done very well.
Thank you.
I mean, just from the acting, obviously Kelsey's great. She is really good, but the timing, the catching the expressions, the way the shots were set up, I was like just I don't normally like get drawn into a story and stuff because I see so many. And I'm a lover of all films, even the ones that mm-hmm. suck.
Yeah, same here.
I probably have made one or two of those and then really good ones. But there was just something about it. I just related to that character the whole time. I don't know how much you want to give away of the story. I mean, obviously people can watch the trailer for Little Jar. But it was just, there's just something about it. I would love to see that like on a big screen or, you know, I would just, I don't know. And how did you guys get the idea for that story? Was it because of the pandemic or?
Yeah, partially because we knew that, like, you know, so for the audience, it's essentially, it's about a woman who's locked in because of a global pandemic. And then she's a misanthrope. She's really excited about it. But then when it keeps going and going and going, she starts missing connection, realizes she does like people, but because she lives in a cabin in the woods where she's by herself, there's nobody to talk to. Right. So makes friends. Yeah. She makes friends with the next best thing that she finds, which happens to be a dead mouse in a little jar. And so essentially we're like a pandemic comedy. It's a friendship story. It's really sweet.
Very funny. It's very,
yeah, but essentially, you know, we were missing friends.
A good word for it. It was just,
absolutely. Yeah, totally. Oh yeah, absolutely. But we were just missing friends in the pandemic. And, that the mouse actually was, an old like toy that Kelsey had been given from her like German grandmother.
That's cool.
Yeah. So we just had that in our apartment. And as we were kind of throwing ideas at the wall, I had this idea of like, what if you're friends with the mouse? It's cute, right? The cute little toy. Is there something there, right?
And I love that.
Yeah, it just presented a whole lot of challenges and trying to write for those challenges because the mouse doesn't talk. So it made the writing fun, right? Like there's a lot of obstacles we had to overcome, but every time we did it, we realized it just made everything better. I think that's what gave us the encouragement to just keep moving forward with the story. So that's really how it kind of came to be.
That is so cool. I actually will watch this one. It was awesome. So is it out there now? Has it already been released?
Yeah. So we were released on September 12th.
Okay.
And we are available for like video on demand on Amazon Prime, Apple TV. You can go to Vudu, Google Play. And I think if you have Xfinity Cable, we're on there as well too.
Oh, that's cool.
And then I think we have released, we're still negotiating the terms, but it looks like we're planned release for streaming sometime in November, maybe early December.
Oh, nice. That's really cool. Did you film it during the pandemic? The height of it?
Yeah. We filmed it in late September of 2020 into October for 2 weeks.
Okay.
So this was like pre-vaccines, you know, it was like, we were in like the height of all that stuff. We were five friends that all stayed locked in, which is why, again, it's why we made it with such a small crew because we wanted to be safe.
Yeah.
We went up to, we went up to a cabin in Lake Arrowhead, which is like the mountainous woody area outside of Los Angeles.
Oh, that's nice.
Beautiful. Quarantined together and then we're able to make the film. So.
Wow. Yeah. Filming during the pandemic, I did a feature too, because my 23-year-old son, he just turned that yesterday. Ooh, I'm old. He's my writing partner. And we had just started our company right before the pandemic. So in February of 2020, we were filming for an investor. We were making like a pilot version of the feature we were going to start. And we finished filming that. We were in post on it. And then in March, the investor's like, everything shut down. And a couple weeks passed. And he's like, guys, I can't do this right now. I just can't. We don't know what's going to happen. And we just started this. It was our first feature film together. I've been making films for like 15 years. And I'm like, oh my God. And he came to me, my son, he says, Mom, oh, I should act more businesslike and not use that word, right? Miss Rennell, he's like, what can we do? Because the pandemic's here. What can we do with what we have left? We can't, with all the challenges, you know, figure it out. And we started like shouting out locations that we had in our little town where we live. And we had a bowling alley. Well, no one's going to the bowling alley right now. And that one stuck. Like we had a farm and we had this and that and an empty mall and a movie, right? The bowling alley stuck. And then we brainstormed a concept and we wrote it very quickly. And by November, we had gotten approved by SAG. We were one of the first approvals in Florida under, you know, the union at that budget level and stuff. But oh my God, filming, I had been filming a long time and then to do it with the new pandemic rules and all your zones, and you had to have your, you know, your COVID nurse on set and all these testing. It was definitely different. And a little bit stressful, but we did it, and that released last year. But oh my God.
Congratulations on getting it made, because that, I mean, filming during COVID, I mean, because I know that, like, especially with all the sets that I ended up, like, working on the commercials and the shows that I worked on, I mean, it was just
nightmare.
It was a nightmare. I mean, it was not easy. I mean, working as a camera operator as well, too, when you're doing a show. And I think in the early days, we used to have the face shields plus the mask, and you'd fog it up and you couldn't see anything.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Like, I'm filming blind. It doesn't make any sense.
And half the time with the face shields, you're like fogged up anyway.
Exactly. And you couldn't be near anybody, but you're trying to capture everything. It wasn't easy at all.
No. One of the big issues we had, and hopefully you haven't faced this, it was the beginning of testing. And I had brought in a couple people. Mostly we used local, and we didn't have that many people. So one of the downfalls of a pandemic film in a bowling alley is it wasn't packed, but we still did it. And it was a small town concept anyway, like deserted and depressed and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, I flew in this one star, and he was terrified, I guess, of getting a COVID test. So he made fake ones. And yes, he had gone to the internet and found them. And my nurse realized it. I had no idea. I wouldn't have known had she not, like, brought it to my attention. And I hadn't let him come to set yet because he wasn't up, but I had him here, and he had his test, and I gave it to her. And every time I brought it up to him, he's like, oh, I sent you the wrong thing. He doctored up and resend the exact same thing to her again, hoping that the new, like, change of name or a little more data. I had to can him.
Like, no, of course.
You can't come. And then I was in a panic because it was a lead role. And so I had literally had to cast where we had already started filming.
Yeah.
It was a challenge. I had a co-director on that, thank God. And he saved my butt a few times because I had to go wear the producer's hat and, jump in and put out fires. But we did it. We did it. And you can tell
lived. That was the crazy part about that is, like, there were just so many unknowns during that, like, situations like that. I mean, that's the first that I've heard of. But, you know, we were on other sets where, you know, all of a sudden you find out your crew is, like, half of them have tested positive. You're like, oh, no.
We so didn't get go home that time around.
Oh, man, you're so fortunate.
I actually still had, like, 40 people, but we were rotating in the cycles, because I did bring in a big crew because it was ambitious to do it really fast.
Yeah.
Thank God nobody got COVID. And
absolutely. Yeah.
And that was my son's first experience making a feature film with his mom. Well, and I'm like, so he didn't.
From here, it's a smooth sailing. Yeah, it'll be fine.
He's like, I'm never going to set, Mom. Just forget it. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. So anyway, back to you, because that's why we're here. So Little Jar is out, and it's streaming, and then hopefully it'll be streaming on some other platforms in a couple months. Where can people go to, like, look at the trailer and all that? Does Little Jar have its own website?
Yeah. So littlejarmovie.com is our website. You can see the trailer there. Our distributor is Good Deed Entertainment, and they have the trailer on their website as well, too, as well as their YouTube page. Okay. And then at Little Jar is our Instagram account, which is where we post most of our information and contact. You can find everything there, too.
Oh, my God. Well, I highly recommend it. It's awesome. You guys, have you started brainstorming for the next one?
Yeah. So, you know, we wrapped Little Jar in 2021. We did a festival circuit, and then obviously distribution takes some time to, like, lock it, right?
Yes.
So we've had some time. We've been brainstorming. We've got two of the scripts we're kind of loosely working on right now. You know, when you're such a small crew, it's pretty hard to be actively writing and be the main producers in the post side of it. Cause I think a lot of filmmakers don't realize how much post is. I know we didn't, right? I had an idea, but it's totally different once you're in the middle of it, right?
It took us
so much longer. Yeah, exactly. Like, and you know, every time you go somewhere, they want certain things that you didn't even think about. There's
brand new deliverables.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we haven't been as active writing as we wanted to be, but over the last, like, 3 months, we've kind of really, like, we've had these ideas since before Little Jar. Little Jar was just the easiest one to make. Yeah. So now we're kind of actively pursuing those. We're writing those again.
And our plan is to have like a team again. You're writing together.
Absolutely.
And
all the time, yeah.
Oh, that's
so. Yeah, and we I mean, so essentially we go through these cycles, right? So it seems like we do a little couple of these micro shorts, maybe we make one bigger short film, and then it gives us confidence to write the big one. So right now we're actively kind of writing these other two features, we're still making our micro short films. So our page Grey Rabbit Films has new content coming out.
Right.
We have two longer.
Do you brainstorm?
Yeah. A lot of them are just like, I have a weird idea. I kind of picture this, and then we'll just kind of like write maybe half a page.
Okay.
But since Little Jar, all of our shorts are actually getting longer. So we're writing 3 to 15 minute, shorts now. So we have about 3 or 4 of those that we want to make. That being said, that's a whole different set of complications as well, too. So we're trying to figure out which is the first one to do, second, third, and then, and actively writing the feature as well. The idea is that, I feel like you can't just jump into a feature cold, right? If you've been writing it the whole time, you need to be managing small projects along the way.
Yeah.
Because the big one's just going to be this enormous problem. So I feel like you just have to, it's like exercising, right?
If
you're not working out, you're not just going to bench press like 200 pounds all of a sudden, right? You got to be able to like build up to it. And I feel like that's what the movie
is. Barely do 5.
Right?
Let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly. But I feel like the movie is like the deadlift of the century. Yeah, exactly. So if you're not actively working up to it, I feel like the feature can get out of control pretty quickly. So that's our thing. We make short films. We probably drop about at least 2 to 3 per month. On our page. And again, they're really simple.
Is it all in-house?
Yeah, it's all in-house. Oh, sweet. Obviously, okay. Like as a DP and a director, I can kind of do them real quick. Kelsey writes. We do the Robert Rodriguez kind of idea of like film what you have or film what you know, right?
Yes.
We look around, we have this, we write a little premise on it, and then we go and make it and we turn them around like in a day or two. So.
Oh, that's sweet. Where can people find that content? That's under your, is it Grey Rabbit?
Yeah, so it's at Grey Rabbit on Instagram. You'll see that we've got a bunch of reels posted up right now.
Oh, that's cool.
We just filmed 2 last night that we'll be posting. We have 2 others that have been edited already that we'll be releasing as well. I believe the next one drops tomorrow.
Have any of those little shorts inspired like a feature?
Yeah. So the one that I think it's coming out tomorrow or next week is called Tiny Feet. And so Tiny Feet is the next feature that we're writing. It's essentially about a woman who, she hates her overly sized feet. I say that in quote, right? Because that's how she perceives it. But she hates her large feet.
And
she envies her friend's perfectly tiny feet. So she chops them off and she wears them as her own.
Awesome.
Yeah. And so that's the premise for the big feature that we're working on right now.
Oh, wow. Wild. Is that a horror? Like a horror?
It's kind of like a dark comedy, right? Yeah, we describe it the way we're writing it right now. That's the one that we've worked on the most. We describe it as like Heathers meets Pearl, right? So you have a good mix of the horror kind of side of it, but there's some comedy that builds into it because I'm not entirely a dark doom and gloom kind of person.
Yeah, oh,
I
wow.
I find joy at a weird little situation. So, that's the next one that we're really working on. That we're the most excited about. But we, like I said, I think we have another feature that we've been tinkering with. It's just
that.
The concept might be bigger than what we're able to do right now, but we're not limiting the writing of it. So we're trying to go as big and like abstract as we can and then see how we can make it happen.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds exciting though. I love collaborating with people. It's just keeps you going and makes something.
Yeah, exactly. It helps a lot. I can tell you that.
Yeah. I write with lots of people. So if you had, and this is just for you, if you had a, like a dream project, something you haven't done yet, what would be your like dream project as a director?
Yeah, I think what I'd like to do is I'd like to manage, obviously through my own voice, but I'd like to direct a project that feels as big as like a Christopher Nolan movie or like a Steven Spielberg, right? Something that encompasses all the storytelling. Yeah, exactly. But it's not actually the legacy. It's like, I just want to know that sometimes you watch those movies and you're like, how the hell do they do that? Like, how do you even begin? How do you manage that stuff? So I think what I'd like to do is like, obviously my story, my voice, but at that complexity and that level, just so that I can know that I, as a filmmaker, have been on the right path, right? So like now I can do the big epic. I think I'd like that. Cool. But I love indie movies.
Favorite genre that you work in, or do you love them all?
No, I love them all. I think what I like to write and tell is kind of like absurdist comedies or surrealist horrors kind of thing.
Yeah.
I love surrealism. I love magical realism. I love absurdism. And all that's from like my theatrical background. Like those are the plays that I was drawn to, the performances that I really love.
Have you ever acted in movies? Do you think you'd ever do that or have you?
No, I mean, I acted in theater and I was always cast in the background. That's how I knew I wasn't like the best for it. But I really like creating the story and telling it. I have a very, very small cameo, a little jar, because we needed the extra body. If you look closely enough, you'll see me, but I don't point it out. But
my arm gets in there sometimes. It's like, yeah, you get a filler in a chair, right?
Exactly. Just need a little piece of something. So, I don't have the desire to act because I know there's people who can do it better than me, but I like cultivating those performances more. So
that's actually a skill that's, I like that better too. That's really cool. Yeah. So is there anything you'd want to share before we move on to like our crazy questions that you'd like to share about your upcoming projects or where people can find you? And then I'd love to get some of your advice.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, you know, littlejarmovie.com is going to be the best place to find out current information on the film. You can also find out where to buy it through there. You know, and then following the Instagram page, we post most of our stuff at Little Jar Movie. I think it's just at Little Jar on Instagram. Okay. And then at Grey Rabbit Films is where we just kind of, you'll see us kind of creatively working
on whatever the next thing is.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a pretty collaborative community, right? People are allowed to pitch ideas there, then somebody else can make something too.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Right. So it's like, we're just trying to cultivate a really fun collaborative community of people just really like to make movies.
So. Oh, that's so cool. Wow. I love that. I do, genuinely. What about advice? What would you share with like people that want to just get in the industry regardless of the role? Because obviously this industry is not for the faint of heart.
Yeah.
It's definitely, you've got to have some kind of passion. So what would you tell somebody that wants to set out and do this?
Yeah. I mean, you've heard it a lot before, so it's really just reiterating, but it's like, if you would choose to do anything else, right? If there's anything else you love more than making movies and being in film and TV, don't do it because
I've actually never heard that. Nobody ever said
okay,
that,
but it's the great. Well, I'll be the first to tell you right now. Cause I mean, I think a lot of like, especially because I live in Los Angeles, right? You run into a lot of people who are in the industry who just kind of say like, man, I just wish I'd love to do anything else because it's hard. It's demanding. There's a lot of downtime. There's a lot of time where you feel like you're not successful.
Yeah.
And then you have these little like explosions where you're like, oh, we're doing great. And then it goes back to like what it was. So many valleys amongst all these like random few sporadic peaks. But man, like if you just love to make movies and you're doing it already, keep doing it. I think it's a numbers game, right?
It is.
The more you do it, eventually something's going to hit. Eventually it will lead to the next thing. And it's not like major leaps. Like the stories that you read and like the trades or, you know, you hear the news articles.
Director on this giant budget.
I promise you, like, that's how they sell it because that makes sense. But they're not just picking somebody out of film school, like, bam, here you go, right? It very rarely happens that way. They've made a lot of stuff to get there because you can't. It's like, would you buy a table, a handmade wood table from a first-time wood maker, or would you go with the guy who's much older who's been doing it forever? You're going to go with the experience, right? It's a trade. You're building these skills. So, you know, as long as you have the passion and you really, really feel like you need to do this, just keep doing it.
Yeah.
Because you will eventually have these moments and those moments will lead to other moments and you just slowly build on to it.
And that's good advice. It's basically only do it if you love it. There's something you love more.
Look, it's a love-hate relationship, right?
Like there are times,
I hate it. Exactly. Like I don't want to do this ever again. And then when you leave, you realize you feel empty and you're going to go right back.
I have no purpose in life. If I walk away, I have no purpose. So I come back.
Exactly.
And, you know, people are always like, you know, why don't you go do something a little more reliable? Because the filmmaking is ebb and flow. It's a numbers game.
Absolutely is.
Especially.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's great advice. I love that. And nobody has actually ever said that. Surprisingly. I mean,
fantastic.
I'm getting
you
are part of my second season and I have never heard it yet. So
cool.
Almost 60 episodes. Nobody said that. So very
cool. I will take it. I'll take my award when it arrives in the mail.
Yes, you have great advice. All right. Well, what I'd like to do now is transition into our 5 for 5. And what I do is I ask 5 goofy questions. And there's a test at the end on your own answers. No, I'm just kidding.
That's great.
You're like, what?
I was a bad test taker.
Oops. No, they are. They're kind of goofy, and it's just for people to know you better. So if you're ready, I'm going to fire away at them. There's no time limit, though. Okay. All right. Question number one. What is your favorite food?
Oh, I mean, pasta, like any day of the week. Pasta is fantastic.
Pasta? Are you Italian?
No, I'm not. Yeah, but like, no, not at all. I just love pasta. Look, Mexican food is pretty high up there as well. But like, man, pasta is just good comfort food.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's so bad for you.
Meat, but... And I'm like, just meat?
Yeah.
Anything?
Yeah, just meat in general.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, like, whether it's like
pasta's a, good. You know,
like
I can
a
get
cheese sauce,
that.
A cream sauce, red sauce, green pasta. I'd say pasta.
Yeah. I love that. I love it. Okay, question number two, a little more serious, but non-film related. What is something that inspires you or motivates you in life?
Learning about the universe and like where we come from, right? I'm not necessarily a religious person, but I find a lot of, I think the same spirituality and like learning about the universe and the creation. Yeah, like the idea that we literally all do come from the same stuff and there is this connection between all of us, like that inspires me and it gives me hope for humanity and all of existence. So I love
right
that.
Right now we need... A lot.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I like that. That's a great answer. Okay. What is something that you have always dreamed of doing, but haven't done yet that is not related to movie making?
I would probably say I've always had this idea that I would love to work like in a wildlife preserve, either with like chimpanzee, well, less chimpanzees because they're a bit scared, but gorillas. Yeah, no, but like working in a conservation with like gorillas would be really, really fascinating. Oh. I absolutely love primates in general. Or working with like another animal, like elephants would be.
What
really
about pandas? Because kind of I always see those jobs where you can get a job hugging a panda. Have you seen?
Yeah, exactly. Something like that. I mean, I'm a big animal lover, but like I am so in, I don't know, like going back to the whole connection with the universe thing, like it's hard to look at primates and not see how we're not as related. Like
not
we're just like so
we
much
are.
The same.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think getting to live around gorillas, maybe chimpanzees from the distance, they're a little bit crazy, but.
You know.
That would be something I'd love to do.
Maybe you could do that one summer and you can take Kelsey and you two can be like gorilla parents.
Yeah, exactly. Just holding a baby, like a baby gorilla would be great.
It's
be
practice for you know, later.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I love it. I'm going to make trouble. Oops. Okay. What is your favorite song to sing at the top of your lungs when you're like driving around in the car? You think no one's listening or watching. They're watching.
Yeah. It's recently it's been Lizzo's About Damn Time. It's just a good song to get excited about. Yeah, it's just a great song. Especially when you're going to like a shoot. Yeah, when you're going to a shoot that you don't really care about.
You know the feeling.
And just pop yourself up. Yeah, exactly. It's just a good catchy song. I like it.
It is actually, and it's self-empowering. Anyway, it's a good song.
Yeah, you're just excited by the end of it. It's hard to like not like it.
I that's awesome. Okay, this is a hard question for filmmakers, but and I don't have an answer, but I still like to ask it.
Yeah.
So, what is your favorite movie of all time?
Oh, hands down, Black Swan.
You have one? Oh my, Black Swan.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, good movie.
It was. I remember I saw it in the theater four times when it first came out. It was.
Oh wow.
It was the movie. I know there's other movies kind of like it's somewhat genre like The Tortured Artist, obsessed with that. Kind of thing, but,
was it Natalie Portman that played?
Yeah, Natalie Portman, directed by Darren Aronofsky, who he's always been one of my favorite directors. I've loved him.
Oh, that makes sense. Why you love
him? I first found out about him was like he's fantastic, but. But yeah, Black Swan, I thought was like, in my opinion, it's like one of the most perfectly crafted films ever. Like, it's just,
yeah.
I saw it four times in the theater.
This question.
Yeah. I watch it about once a year. I have the Blu-ray. I watch it about once a year.
Is this like a go-to movie?
Yeah.
Wow.
I will go through periods where I'll obsess about it. I might watch it like three or four times in a row, like 4 days in a row, and then not touch it. Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I'm when people say like, what's your favorite movie? That's it. Like if I had to pick one forever,
so
it would
awesome.
Be Black Swan.
I've gotten some crazy answers. And then sometimes I get movies I've never even heard of and I have to make a note and go check them out. But that is a good movie. I agree with you. Wonderful movie. Well, Dominic, you have been awesome. I wish you guys like great success with your film. And I hope you'll come back and talk to me on the next one or anytime. And when this darn strike's over, I would love to meet and talk to you, Kelsey. Cassie. So
she would love it. Yeah, you'd get a kick out of her.
Let her know that I think she's awesome, not in a bad
way. Yeah, absolutely, will do.
And I love the movie you guys wrote.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. And thank you so much for having me on.
Yes, thank you. And I wish you guys a great day. Bye.
You too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Movie Making with Renelle Golden is brought to you by Samira Entertainment, supporting indie films and the filmmakers who create them. Stop by their website to learn more, www.samiraentertainment.com. That's www.samiraentertainment.com. You've been listening to Movie Making with Renelle Golden. Be sure to come back for our next episode where we bring you the people who make movies you love. Got a topic about filmmaking you want to hear on our podcast? Send us an email at moviemakingpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.